Voices Oral History Project, we have Coach Bob DeSpirito here with us. How are you today, Coach?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Well, why don't we start off with a little bit of biographical information?
Okay, I'm going to read off some of the things that I have right here on paper. Okay. Is that all right with you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was born in 1928, which makes me 80 years old. Getting old. I was born in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and I went to the University of Rhode Island and Columbia University. And for the affiliation, what I did here at the University of Slippery Rock, and I arrived here in 1968 as the head football coach and in physical education. I taught there for 1 year, but since I had my master's degree in recreation, they wanted to start the recreation department. So from that time on, I was in the development of the recreation environmental education department, and from the very beginning, so until I retired. Mm-hmm. I was head football coach from 1968 till I had a heart attack in 1980. And I just resumed teaching full-time until it was 1987, I believe it was the time, and at which time Dr. Abelsall asked me to return to the head coaching job for 1 year. They were having some problems, and Coach had resigned, and Donald had resigned. So he asked me to take over, and I did. It was kind of a fun thing because as you look at the program and you see what is happening and the things that you did, what you would do, I never said anything, but all of a sudden I was put in a position that I could change things, mm-hmm. which I did. And so I came back to coaching for that one season, and I was able to get my 100th win in Shippensburg. That's kind of a unique story there. Unbeknownst to me, Dr. Abelsall, who incidentally, when he first arrived at Slippery Rock, was one of my freshman football coaches, and he rose to the ranks of university president. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, after the game, we had a dinner at alumni's home, Big Farm, Horse Farm. And so we came in with the bus, and we were going to have dinner there. And the players should get a chance to ride some horses and that sort of thing. But as the bus stopped, Dr. Abelsall was there, and he opened up his trunk. And as we all filed off, he had in these little containers, little small containers of champagne. And he was toasting my 100th win. So I thought that was kind of neat, mm-hmm. the present to do that. But we were very close friends for the time he coached with me and my staff until he retired. Let's see. I'm trying to read some of these things. I'm trying to think of the era that I was here. Of course, I was here from 1968 to 1980.
So you were here for the state college and then the university change.
Yes, right. I went through the growth. And it was fun watching the university because when we first got here, there was only about 2,800 students. Well, we're comparing that with like 8,400 students now, today. Mm-hmm. But we saw the growth, and yet there was a lot of growth at that time. Dr. Wartrell came in, and that was the beginning of an awful lot of development, physical development on mm-hmm. campus. And at that time, he was very interested in football. He was a football player himself at Syracuse University. So he was a big help to not just football, but to all athletics. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, we were very good. We won three straight championships in a row, and we hadn't won, lost a ball game in 3 years or 4 years at the college. Basketball was very strong, baseball was strong, wrestling was was very, very strong, and the spirit at this university was just outstanding, because the students could identify with pride with the university, and that helped raise the morale of the entire student body, faculty, and everybody else. So it was a fun time to be here. I was, again, going back, I was hired into physical education, and then, as I said, because of my advanced degree in recreation, we started the recreation department. I worked at the field house, of course, I worked in Old Main, and I worked in Spots. Those are the three locations that I got involved in. It says the impressions, and he was asking for the impressions of the College of University, and what was it like when you first arrived here and so forth, and I think I've said that, and that it was like 2,800 students. There was very little progress at that time. And then, of course, through the years, it now has been tremendous progress physically, as well as student enrollment of 8,500. The physical plant and the way the town has finally grown. The town is a very small town. When I was at Bucknell, it was a small town in Lewisburg too, but they were very progressive. This town was not very progressive at this time. And so as I became an advisor to student government for at least 14 years, and all those years we were trying to get places to have a student could go to and have a drink and so forth right in town, and there was never any license, and they fought it and fought it and fought it, and then all of a sudden it became a reality. But what I like about it is that there are three locations in Suffolk where you can have a drink, an alcohol drink, but yet they're all restaurants, and it's always good food at all the places. So it's not a bar, and I thought that was a good approach to it. So I have seen the growth of the college, and now I've seen the growth of the towns, and it's been good. My campus, my activities here on campus was, of course, with the department. I was served on many college-wide committees. I was on the recreation faculty, and I helped enlarge and develop the Newman Center here on campus. Mm-hmm. And we built what you see presently as the Newman Center. Mm-hmm. I was part of that development. I came here as an assistant professor, and I rose to the rank of professor. Those were some of the accomplishments that I feel that I had, along with, of course, the three state championships that we had here, and the building of the recreation center. I was given that job in my last 9 years here at the university, and Dr. Davis asked me to run with it, and which I did. I went to many schools, videotaped, looked at their facilities, and it took 9 years, but you have the reality of the Amos Hall Recreation Center, which was very, very well needed here on this campus. And so that was, I felt, was a part of the accomplishments I got involved with, along with, of course, my coaching and the Gale Rose, which is, I don't know if you know where the Gale Rose facility, if you've been to a football game, it's way up on the hill. That facility that's up on the hill.
Okay.
And it's a great fundraiser because it costs people $500 per season to go in there and watch games, and then they can have their wonderful meals up there. So it's a wonderful place to watch the game. So that has been, they probably have a couple hundred people up there, and at the price of their $500 is a quite a good fundraiser, So that was they were going to tear it down, and Dr. Ebersol asked me what I thought about that, and I said, before they tear it down, I said, I'd like to know whether it's stable, whether we could do anything with it, and then we had an evaluation. building and grounds came in and they evaluated it, and they said, no, it's sound. And so Dr. Abel said, what do you want to do? I said, let me do some fundraising, which I did. And we raised about $10,000 initially, and we put a deck out there and painted the place. And then since then, the school has improved on it, but it's a wonderful facility that no other school in the state conference has. So that makes it unique. It's a great fundraiser. It says here, the best and worst moments while here at the university. That's a hard one. I would say the successes and the failures of my students that I get involved with, both in the classroom as well as on a football field, and how much joy it brings to a coach to see young men come in and with an attitude, and that attitude has changed to a very positive attitude, from a negative to a positive. And so, same with the students, being able to get them inspired or get them excited about the recreation program that I was involved with. I was in charge of trying to get the non-majors on campus to be interested in our department. So I would talk to maybe 700 to 900 students and trying to get them interested, not only in our department, but get into some kind of a major after the first year. Mm-hmm. And the first year, I think it's a good idea to come in the general studies. A lot of schools, matter of fact, when I was at Bucknell, that's the way it was. You came in general studies for 2 years, and then you majored in your junior and senior year. You were able to get a grasp of college life and finally really decide where you would like to go. It's hard as a freshman to come in and say, I want to be this and stay with it for 4 years. Mm-hmm. The majority of the students change their mind maybe sometimes 2 or 3 times, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. So that's probably when you say the best and worst moments. You know, I mean, I lost football games. Those are bad moments. I won football games. Those are exciting moments. So, but I think the basic one was dealing with students. Mm-hmm. It says here, who were the leaders, presidents, deans, and so forth when I was here at the university? You know, when I retired, I remember one of the comments I made. I said, I was kind of unique. Mm-hmm. I said, because ordinarily, I was unique in the sense that I survived 7 presidents. Mm-hmm. And it's usually just the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's usually presidents survive 7 football coaches. I survived 7 presidents all the time I was here. We started out with Dr. Carter, the first faculty meeting I ever went to. They called for his resignation. I said, my Lord, what is happening here? And they all tried to pick sides. And I was new, I didn't know anybody. So I said, I'm not for anybody really, you know. But so Dr. Carter was finally asked to resign. And then next week he was given the position back. And then next week the position was taken away from him. It was a very, very hard time when I first got here in 1968. But anyway, we went through Dr. Carter, Dr. Wattrell, Dr. Roberts, Dr. Reinhardt, Dr. Ebersole, and Dr. Smith. Not the present Dr. Smith, the other Dr. Smith. Mm-hmm. And it said, you know, who was someone who made the biggest impressions on me? I had a dean here, Dr. Meisey, who was a wonderful, wonderful man. And I think Will McCavill, who is still teaching after 50-something years.
50 years,
amazing,
yeah.
Amazing, amazing lady, and a good teacher.
I just got to interview her a couple weeks
ago.
Did
you? Mm-hmm. She's a wonderful lady, and she actually, you know, she was in the health department and does an excellent job there. But she was also president of the union when we were first forming our union. And she's a strong lady. Mm-hmm. And she did a lot of good things for us. Mm-hmm. So I've always been a big fan of Mo McCavill. Mm-hmm. And the day she decides to retire, I think there'll be a loss here at the university. Mm-hmm. It says, who other people who influenced you or were significant in your time? Dr. Wetrell, obviously. He helped all the athletic programs and created an atmosphere at this university that was exciting. And I think the thing across the growth of the college was always what was really exciting. We were a small group. We knew each other, and we did a lot socially. Now the school's gotten so big, it's not as social as it was when it was small. So that was a lot of fun to go through that. And of course, the camaraderie that you develop with a coaching staff. I had six guys on my staff, and I only lost one in all the time that I coached in 14 years. So, and as of today, we're still very good friends. So that was very, very exciting. Major events. While I was here, when they put the new football field in, we used to play here at the old Thompson Field here. Mm-hmm. So we put that in, and then to the building of the Recreation Center. It took 9 years, and that was fun putting it all together, because I worked at Old Main for 5 years when I got out of coaching. That's what my job was. Mm-hmm. And I keep repeating the enrollment growth. It's always been exciting. Starting a recreation department was exciting. And the successes of the football program were very, very exciting. Mm-hmm. These were all wonderful projects that I got involved with. And also another big cause is developing and enlarging the Newman Center. Being Catholic, I was involved with the planning and the expansion of the Newman Center, and at this day my daughter is the head of all the activities. Mm-hmm. Diane Miaka is my daughter, and she's the head of all those activities at the Newman Center. Well, let's see.
What were some big memories that you have from being here? Besides, like, your 100th win.
What, the memories? Oh, gosh, there are lots of memories in terms of, I mean, from the football aspect of it. You know, we went to bowl games, two bowl games. We were nationally ranked. We had an association with the University of Texas where every homecoming, they gave me something. They gave me a hat one time, and boots another time, and tequila another time. And we would send our cheerleaders to the University of Texas for their homecoming, and they sent their cheerleaders here for homecoming here. So it was a very exciting time, and they had a boosters club at the University of Texas, the Slippery Rock Boosters Club. And the alumni, their president came, visited here, and we visited there, so it was a lot of fun. And it was an exciting time for us. Mm-hmm. And it says, if anything, what do you miss about Slippery Rock? Well, of course, being in touch with the faculty, being in touch with the students, being in touch with, I miss the game days and football. I don't miss all the other stuff. We used to spend hours and hours and hours looking at films and developing strategies, and the migraine headaches I don't miss at all. But those are some of the real fun times, and there are so many presidents that I had a close relationship with, alumni that I've had a close relationship with, and it's been very gratifying because mm-hmm. it was an excellent, very good life. And you know, the thing was, when I look back, I was at Bucknell. I was at University of Bridgeport for 7 years, and then I went to Bucknell for a couple of years. And when this job opened up, the athletic director at Bucknell asked me if I would be interested in Slippery Rock. And I said, I don't think so. I don't want to go to Arkansas. They said, no, that's Little Rock. This is Slippery Rock. So I had very little contact with this area of football. I was a New Englander.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I had dealt with before that was, you know, Connecticut, Rhode Island, places like that.
Yeah.
But it was exciting. But anyway, we drove up here for the interview. And this is the truth. We drove in on a wintry day where the snow had a lot of, the roads had covered with all kinds of sand and filth and all that sort of stuff. It was just dirty looking. And our wife and I said, well, we could probably out there get something to eat before we go. And the only place open was the hot dog shop. I said, my Lord, it's a whole town. The only place you can eat is the hot dog shop. So we went in there, and this big man came over to me and he said, you're interviewing for the coaching job, huh? And I said, well, how did you know that? He said, well, you have a tie and shirt and jacket on. He said, most people don't dress that way around here. I said, oh, really? But anyway, so I went in, did my interview, and got the job. It was, I didn't know how long I was going to stay here. And it's turned out to be, I've been here ever, 40-something years now. But we loved it here. It was a great place to bring my five children up. We have a farm just outside, a mile and a half outside of the town here. I could be in my classroom in 10 minutes. I was used to being at Columbia in New York City. And, you know, transportation was awful. Mm-hmm. In Connecticut, it was a busy, busy place. So all of a sudden, I'm in this place where I could be in my classroom in 10 minutes. And I could go and dress any way I want out my farm. Yet I was only a mile and a half off from school. You know. But the only difference is that I find out, as I know, the school was much smaller. It was in a growing period. We were faculty and pulled together. We were pulling together. We became, got to know one another.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't that many faculty here. And we did a lot socially. Once we got the program, you know, going, my first game here, I got beat 61-7. Whew. So I said, well, I don't know if I'm going to be here this long. But anyway, we developed the program here. It was a lot of fun, and we made a lot of friends, and we've stayed here. We've made it a life here at the university. Is there any questions you would like me to ask, or what?
Well, do you have any words of wisdom for anybody who wants to come to Slippery Rock or participate in the football program?
Would I recommend them?
Do you have any words of wisdom for them? Any advice for them?
Yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of levels of football. There's what they call Division III,
mm-hmm.
small liberal arts colleges. Division II, which is us.
Mm-hmm.
Division I, AA, which is University of Rhode Island, where I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Division 1A, which is Notre Dame, big schools.
Mm-hmm.
And if a young man wants to play football enough, and doesn't want to sit on a bench, then his best chances of succeeding are at a school like Division 2, where the emphasis is academic. Not football. A lot of, when we first got here, we didn't have any scholarships at all. It was all work study. If anybody wanted any extra money, they had to go into a work study program, so they had earned it. And it's changed a little bit now. Now they have some full rides now. But my advice to any student coming in is to make sure you evaluate, number one, what you want, what you feel the school has to offer you academically. That's got to be number one. Because 99% of the young men that play here and young ladies that play in our athletic program will not go to the professional ranks. So therefore, you got to be in a situation where you're going to have a lot of fun and enjoy it, but yet gain the experience and the education you need to go on with your life after your 4 years, 5 years are up. So it's extremely important that you fit in. visit the schools, make sure you fit in, feel comfortable with the student body, meet some of the students here, get to know, don't just go around with coaches or whoever is showing you around the university. Try to meet some of the students and find out what really goes, because they're the ones that'll tell you what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Administrators and coaches, they always kind of, you know, put the icing on
kind of
everything.
A little bit of sugarcoating.
Yeah, right. And that's their job, you know, to try to recruit. But so we're there for, when I was recruiting here at the university, we met with the coaches, and after that, they were assigned to students. We had cheerleaders, we had football players, we had basketball players. We asked the basketball players to help the football program as we helped the basketball players. There was a real mutual trust and camaraderie. And we want them to go with the students for the day, have lunch with them, and find out what really this school is all about. And we try to put them in with majors. If they were exercise majors, science majors, then that's who we would assign a student from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that you're going to spend the next 4 years, which will probably dictate, for the most part, what your future is going to be all about.
Mm-hmm.
And as a football player, you want to go to a school where you can have some fun with it and get to play. It's no fun sitting on a bench. A lot of the schools, bigger schools, you know, you might get to play 1 or 2 years if you're fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But in this division, you can play for 4 years and have fun with it. So it's important that you get as much as you can out of the situation.
Mm-hmm. How do you want to be remembered at Slippery Rock?
How do I want to be remembered? Someone who's made a difference.
Do you feel that you've achieved that?
Excuse me?
Do you feel that you've achieved that?
Oh, sure. I just want to have made a difference, and that's what it's mm-hmm. all about. I helped develop the program here,
mm-hmm.
football, but I also helped build the recreation center,
mm-hmm.
helped build the Newman Center, worked on the church councils. I was responsible for developing the recreation center in town with my classes.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the accomplishments that I feel very proud of. And, you know, it's made my time worthwhile. But if I want to be known for anything, I want to know that, like, that have people think of me as someone who has made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think I have any other questions for you, so I'd like to thank you for allowing me to interview you.
You're welcome.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.